Okay, we're beginning with the Gemara on the top of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, the two dots. Gufa, this refers to a quote that we had yesterday. It says, Ma'ala Mal Bashem. So here it's referring to Shvu'ata Pikadon, someone who has taken into his possession to watch a certain item, and then the Baal, the owner of the item, comes and asks him for it, and he denies it through a Shvu'ah. So the Torah over there says, Ma'al Mal Bashem, so that he does something, a Mal, with Hashem. So why is it Be Hashem? So, based on that, the Rabot Kachim Kalim, Shem Mono, Divir Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yosef Glili says that this includes, that will be included or subsumed under the category of Shvu'ata Pikadon. We allow that a person will be Chayav even if it's Kachim Kalim. Why, even if it's Kachim Kalim, will you be held accountable for taking a Shvu'ata Pikadon? Because Shem Mono, they are his money, meaning that Kachim Kalim are considered to be your possession. And therefore, when we say Malum Al Bashem, they'll be included under the Parsha of Shvu'ata Pikadon, Diver Biosi Aglili. Ben Azai Omer, there are both et Hashlamim. Not Kochim Kalim, but only Shlamim. Shlamim will be considered your property for Shvu'ata Pikadon, but not necessarily Kochim Kalim. Abi Yosi ben Dustai Omer, Lo Omer ben Azai, Elo Bechor Bilvad. When Ben Azai said his statement, he meant only for a Bechor and nothing else. That only a Bechor is considered to be the property for Shvu'ata Pikadon, property of the owner for Shvu'ata Pikadon, but nothing else. So Amamar, Ben Azai Omer, Lo Rabot Et Shlamim. When Ben Azai says that it includes Shlamim, meaning as opposed to the first statement by Rabbi Yosef Glili, which says that it's Kochim Kalim, Shlamim is a more narrow category of Kochim Kalim. So the Mu'utei, what does that come to exclude? Meaning that if you're including Shlamim to be a part, or Mamon Habalim, the under the ownership of the, or considered to be the property of the owner, then what are you excluding from that, as opposed to when Rabbi Yosef Glili makes a broader statement of Kochim Kalim? So Ilei Milimutei Bechor, he's coming to exclude a Bechor that will not consider the property of the owner. Hashtu Mashlamim Shitu Unim Smicha Unisachim Utnufat Chazeh V'Shok. A Shlamim requires a number of things to be done to it as a Korban. First of all, it requires Smicha, that you have to put your hands on the Shlamim before you bring it into the Mikdash as a Korban. Unisachim, along with it comes certain libations, Minchat Nisachim, like three Ashtunim, Napar, Shnei Ashtunim, Na'ayol, Yisron, the Keves, of Yayin. Utnufat Chazeh V'Shok, you have to do a wave offering of the Chazeh and Shok. Amart Mamon Balim, who, and despite all of this that has to be done to the animal, which seems to indicate it's a higher level of kochim, because it requires much more process or tekes, right, the ceremony involved with it, Bechor Mibayit, then you have to tell me about a Bechor that it belongs to the owners. A Bechor doesn't require any of this, so certainly it should be the property of the owners. Elam Rabbi Yochanan Lemute Ma'aser, it's to exclude Ma'aser Behema. Kedetanya, we have a brisa, Bechor Ne'amar Lo Tifteh. By Bechor, it says you may not redeem the Bechor. A Bechor, when you say you can't redeem it, means that you can't exchange the Kedusha on the Bechor onto the money and then use that money to purchase another item or an animal. But the fact that it cannot be redeemed does not mean it can't be sold. Vinimkar, but nevertheless it is sold. Tam chai, if it's a tam, it can be sold while it's still alive. Ubal mum, if it has a mum in it, it can be sold. Chai vishachut. So you see from this that belongs, or that the bechor is the property of the owner in order to sell it. But maser, on the other hand, by maser it says lo yigael, that not only can you not be podeit, you not can redeem it, but lo yigael. Lo yigael, the Gemara learns, v'enu nimkar. Lo yigael means that it may not be not only not redeemed, but also not sold. V'enu nimkar, lo chai v'lo shachut, lo tam v'lo balmum. You're not allowed to sell ma'aser behema, no matter what. So if you can't sell it, it's clearly not the property of the owner of the ma'aser behema. So that'll be the distinction here. When we say kochim kalim as a broad category, that'll include everything, including shlamim, bechor, ma'aser. But when it comes to Ben Azai, who narrows the category down and says that it's only referring to Shlamim, he includes Bechor in that because Bechor is a Kal V'Chomer from Shlamim. On the other hand, he excludes Ma'aser, because Ma'aser, we have a clear indication from the Pasuk that is not the property of the owner. Ravina Matni Lo Aseifa. Ravina asked this question, or saw this question about Ben Azai on the second part, because it's Abi Yosi Ben Dustai Omer Lo Amar Ben Azai Lo Bechor. When Rabbi Yosi Ben Dustai says that Ben Azai really narrowed down what's considered to be the property of the owner to only a Bechor. Bilvad, lumutei mai. What does that come to exclude? I mean, it's bechor, yes, and what? No. Ilim lumutei shlamim. If it's coming to exclude shlamim, hashdama bechor shekadosh mirachem memonuhu, a bechor which is kedusha is generated from the time it's born, meaning that a bechor is established from the birth of the mother. You don't have to do anything. It's kadosh mirachem imo. Whereas regular shlamim, you have to be mekadosh them. They're chulin, where the baal or the owner comes along and says that this will be kodesh for shlamim. shlamim ibai. So certainly there, shlamim should be the property of the owner. If a bechor, which never was in his possession, it was always kochim, is considered to be his property, then shlamim certainly. So amar Rabbi Yochanan imute maaser. It's coming to exclude the case of maaser. Kedatanya, same brice that we brought before. Bechor nemar lo tifteh v'nim kar tam chai ubal mum chai v'shachut. Despite the fact that you're not allowed to redeem it, you're still allowed to sell it. So that's an indication that the bechor, the Bechor is the property of the owner. But Maaser Nemar, but on the other hand, Maaser says, Lo Yigael, Ve'enu Nimkar, Lo Chayv, Lo Shechut, Lo Tam, Lo Balmum. So the lack of the ability to redeem a Maaser Behema, also the Gemara learns out. The Nerechin means also that he may not sell the animal. If he may not sell the animal, it's clear that it's not the property of the owner. So Gemara says, Ha Bechor Bilvad Kamar. The way you're phrasing this next, this position of Ben Azai, that means that when Ben Azai says, in the end, according to Rabbi Yossi ben Dustai, he says that it means Bechor. He didn't really just mean Bechor. He meant Bechor and Shlamim, because we just said before that a Shlamim will be Kavachomer from Bechor. So the Gemara says that's Kasha. That doesn't work so well. That doesn't flow through the Gemara, because it seems to say that he says Bechor Bilvat. The only thing that is Mamon Balim is Bechor. That means not Shlamim and not Maaser. So it seems to be that that's not our question. And this whole piece of the Gemara was only on the first statement of Ben Azai when he said it was Shlamim, and then we were trying to determine what it excluded. So now the Gemara gives an alternative Pshat, according to Rava, about how to explain in the Mishnah Nechasim She'ein Behen Mi'ilah. Before yesterday's daf, we tried to explain what Nechasim She'ein Behen Mi'ilah means, to differentiate between Kochim Kalim and Kochi Kochim. Rava says, more simpler, Rava Amar, my Nechasim She'ein Behen Mi'ilah, Nechasim She'ein Behen Din Mi'ilah. Anything that doesn't have a Din Mi'ilah in it, means, basically, anything that is Kodesh, right, is not classified here, and anything that is Chol, belongs to a Hedyot, will be classified or within the category of Nezek. Mar says, "My ninu, the hedjot. What is something that doesn't have a din milah? That's something that's not kodesh." So Mar says, "Litne the hedjot." Right? That was the whole problem. That's why we got into the issue yesterday, is because of the fact that the Mishnah uses a cryptic term, which is nechasim she'ein ban milah. If it wanted to say kodesh or hedjot, it should have said nixay ekbeishes nixay hedjot. The fact that it changed and it wrote nechasim she'ein ban milah seems to be indicating something more than what Rav is suggesting over here. So Mar says, "Kashul, that's not. That'll be a question on Rav's position or how he's explaining the Mishnah." Now, Amar Rabbi Ava, Rabbi makes a general statement, Shlamim shehiziku, Shlamim that do damage to another animal, that when the nizak comes to collect from the goof of the animal, obviously it's a tam, when he comes to collect from the goof of the animal, he only collects from the basar, he only collects from the meat of the animal, but he doesn't take it from the emurim. Why? Pshita. Emurim, the gvoas alke. Because what do you do with the emurim of the shlamim? The emurim of the shlamim go onto the mizbeach, and they're mukrav to a kodesh baruch hu. So if they're going to end up on the mizbeach, they don't belong to the owner. What does belong to the owner is the basar. So it's clear that when you come to collect, the nizak comes to collect, you can only collect from the basar, not the emurim. Mar says, lo, tzricha, the gova bibsaram keneged emurim. The question is whether you're allowed to. Fine. You can't collect from the emurim. But on the other hand, if you can't get to the value, chatzi nezek, through just the basar, are you allowed to take, or through 50% of the basar, are you allowed to take an additional amount of basar to get to the level of nezek that has been created over here by replacing the emurim, which all belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by replacing them with basar? Do we say, what's the possibility here? Say that the animal is worth 150, 100 of that is basar, and 50 of that is emurim. So if you were to take chatzi nezek from the animal, you should be entitled to 75. But over here, we just said that you're only allowed to collect from the basar. If you're only allowed to collect the basar, you can only get 50 out of the basar. The question is, what happens if the chatzi nezek that you owe is 75? So we said, clearly, you can't collect from the emurim. But on the other hand, maybe you could collect the 75 from the basar. Even though that's more than 50% of the basar, but it's still only 50% of the total value of the animal, and you'll collect the entire amount that you want to collect from the basar itself. Zakamar says, Alibid Aman. Who are you saying this? I Alibid Rabbonon. Is it going to Rabbonon? This has to do with a Gemara further on in Nun Gimel Amad Aleph, the case where a shore came along and gored another shore and knocked it into a boar. So you have the Bala shore and the Bal HaBor over here. Who's responsible for the damage done to this shore? It was gored above the boar and then knocked into the boar below. So according to the Rabbonon who believe that when the Bala shore does damage, that you can't come to the Bala bor and say that you are responsible for the damage. So therefore, whatever the Bala shore pays, that's it. the balabor doesn't pay anything. So since the balashor did chatzi nezek, and the balabor did chatzi nezek, so when it comes to the balashor, when the shore comes, the animal, the shore that did damage to the shore, he pays, if he's a tam, he pays chatzi nezek of his half of the damage, which would be a quarter. Or if he's a mu'ad, he'll pay the full amount of his damage, which again will be chatzi nezek, half of the nezek of the total. The balabor is patur, because we have exeris ha-katuv, that a only time that a balabor is chayav is when something falls memela by itself into the boar, but if something doch, if it's pushed into the boar, then the balabor is not responsible. So it's clear according to the Rabbanan that when you can't collect from the balashor, you don't go after the bal habor. So also over here, if you can't collect from the mirim, we don't let you go and chase after the basar. Pshita. When you can't collect from one of mazik, you don't go after the other mazik. If it's according to Rabbi Natan. Now Rabbi Natan over there says yes, the balabor has to fill in the loss that the balashor does not cover. So that means in an instance where the balashor only pays a quarter of the nezek, because he created half the nezek, and he's the time he pays half, the balabor will pay the other three quarters to get it up to nezek shalem. And on the other hand, if the Baal Ashur is a Mu'ad, the Shur is a Mu'ad that did the damage, and he pays Chatzi Nezek, meaning because he pays the full amount of his Nezek, which is half of the total, then the Baal of Bor will fill in the other half. So Gemara says, Haki, Amar Ki Lech L'Shtu Mehai, Mishtan Lemehai. Rabbi Notam believes that the Baal of Bor fills in whatever the Baal Ashur didn't do. If that's the case, then over here too. If they can't collect from the Emurim, then you should be able to fill it in with the Basar. Gemara says, Ibai Demir Rabbi Notam. We can answer up according to Rabbi Natan. We can answer up according to the Rabbanon. When did the Rabbanon say that you, if you can't collect from one mazik, you don't go after the other mazik? That is when you're talking about two different mazikim here. You're talking about a shor and a boar. But over here, you're dealing with a single animal. If part of the animal is basar, part of it is emurim, but you're dealing with a single mazik over here. The nizak can say to him, whoever created this damage, I can go after to get the money. And the damage is created by one mazik, and wherever I can get from this mazik the damage is, I will go after. Some people say we can explain according to Rabbi Natan. Right, so now, when the Baal Ashur, the Nizak, says, my shore is in your boar, what is my shore doing in your boar? Unless your boar did some damage here, then what is my shore doing in your boar? And you've got to fill in, you've got to make up the differential of what the shore who pushed him in and didn't pay here. My delay slightly shlume meheich, but I can't collect from the shor hamazik. Mishlume minach, I'm going to come after you, Mr. Boar, Mr. Balabor. Lahacham, in our case over here, by kochim miyamatzar basar azik emurim lo azik. Over here, how can you say? Wait. The basar did damage, but the emurim didn't do damage. No, the emurim were equally responsible here as much as the basar. If they're equally responsible over here, that means that you can't go and collect more than you're appropriate from the basar. You can only collect up to the limit of what the half the basar would have been. So now Amarova makes another statement. Toda sheizika gova mi basara veino gova mi lachma. A todah that did damage, if the nizak wants to come collect from the goof, the tam wants to come collect from the goof of the todah, he can collect from the todah itself, from the basar of the todah, but he cannot collect from the lechem, the bread that comes along with the todah as a part of the carbon todah. It says, lechem pshita. The Gemara says, what are you talking about? Of course, it's pshita. The lechem has nothing to do. It didn't do the damage. The bread wasn't there when it did the damage. It's part of a korban, but it's not part of the mazik here. The Gemara says, sefet strichle. I need the second half of that statement. Why? Nizak ochel basar. The one who got damage can collect from this todah, and when the korban is brought, he'll go and eat the basar. That'll be his compensation for the damage done. But on the other hand, mitkaper mevi lechem. The Baal, the owner of the Todah, who's bringing the Todah, and that's his kapara, he'll have to bring the lechem, even though he's not going to eat the basar here. But it says, Hanami Pshita, that's also simple. So why should he? I mean, the one who's bringing the karbon is chayav to bring the lechem. Why should the nizak, who's just collecting the basar because he got damaged, have to pay for the lechem? Now, Mar says, Ma'u the tema, what would I have thought? Kevin the lechem hechsher de zevachu. I would have thought, since the lechem is part of what makes it mutar to eat the basar of the lechem, lemele atachalt basar anayte lechem. You're eating the meat. You, the nizak, are eating the meat. I'm going to pay for the bread that makes it accessible to you? No, you are eating the meat. Should pay for the bread to make it accessible to you. Kamash Malan, that's what Rabbi came to teach us, that lechem chiyuv the balim hu, that the lechem is the obligation of the one who's getting the kapara, the obligation of the owner of the todah. And then Nizak can eat the basar, and he won't have to bring the lechem at all. Now our Mishnah said that nechasim shen b'nei brit, that the nechasim in our Mishnah have to be of Bnei Brit. L'me'utei mai. What is it excluding? If it's coming to exclude non-Jewish property, haktani lo lekaman. We have an explicit mission later on. Shor sheyisrael shenogach shor shel v'kachim patur. We know that already. So where it says, Tana v'hadim refarish. No, our Tana was just listing the headlines. And later on, the mission is going to explain what that means. That means that when a shor of a Jew goes and damages a shor v'rib kachavim, he's not going to be chayav. That next line in the Mishnah is, Nechasim hamyuchadim. What does it mean, Nechasim hamyuchadim? L'me'ute mai. What does that come to exclude? Amar av Yehuda l'me'ute, ze omer shor chahezik, v'ze omer shor chahezik. It's in a case where there were a bunch of shvarim around, a bunch of oxen around, and his shor got damaged. And he goes to each animal and he says, your shor damaged. But he can't identify exactly who damaged it. It's uncertain about which shor did it. In that case, he can't collect it. We need to know who the owner and who the mazik was here. Mar says, Hatani lekaman. Again, that's explicit Mishnah further on. Hayu shnaim rufim achar echad. Two shvarim were chasing after a single shor. Zeo mer shor chayezik, v'zeo mer shor chayezik. Each of the owners of the shvarim, the oxen that were chasing, right, they say, no, your shor did the damage. The other one says, no, your shor did the damage. Shneim p'turim. They're both patur. So Gemara says again, Tanei v'hadim mefarish. This gave the headlines over here. Later on, the Mishnah later on explains what it meant over here. But Matnitza Tana, we have in a Bryce that explains, in the Tosef that explains, that this is Prat l'nichsei hefker. That nechisim yuchadim means they have to be owned, is it comes to exclude nechsei hefker. So hechidami, what's the case of nechsei hefker? Elim edanachak tor didan l'tor de hefker. If you're sure damaged hefker, mantavale. Who's going to come make a claim against you? There's no owner to make a claim against you. El edanachak tor hefker l'tor didan. Must be a case where the shore of hefker comes and does damage to your shore. So Bryce says, lezev aleite. Go take it. He can go take it. If it's Hefker, go take it, and it'll be his compensation. Where it says, it's a case where somebody else grabbed it before him. So in that case, he loses out because the shore who damaged him had no owner, and now it's owned by someone else. Because it's owned by someone else, he can't go make that claim on that shore anymore. Ravina Marlim Ute Nagach Vachakhdish Nagach Vachakhivkir. So it comes to exclude a case where the shore did damage, and then afterwards the owners made it Kodesh, or afterwards the owners disowned it. Tanya Nami Achli, we have a brisa that supports that explanation. Yeto Kina Mar Rav Yehuda, Afilu Nagach, Vachakach Higdish, Nagach Vachakach Hivkir, Patur. If the shor did damage, the mazik shor did damage, and then he was maktishit, or he was mafkiret, he's patur. Shinemar V'uvad Bivalav Emit Ish. Ache Mita V'amada B'din Shavim. That it has to be owned by the single owner from the time that it caused the death until it's brought to court. Shavim Kecha, they have to be totally the same. The same ownership all the way through. Over here, the ownership changed. Either when he was mafkir, it was disowned, and now there's no owner. Or when he's makdish, it now belongs to Ekdesh. Gemara says, V'gemar din lo be'inan? What do you mean? Why does it only have to be from the time that the ox did damage or killed, and to the time it gets to court? It should be until the closure of the court case, until they paskin, until they adjudicate the case, and they come to a conclusion. Ha, Asher Yisakel. Right, the pasuk that we just quoted says, Asher Yisakel, that'll be stoned. When is it stoned? That's at the time of the Gemar Din. So Gemara says, Gemar Din Udikstiv, that's written by the Gemar Din. El Ema, you have to say, Achte Mita Vamadabid Din. The Gemar Din Shavin Kechad. It has to be from the time that it did the damage, the time that it's brought to court, and the time to the conclusion of the court case, so that we have a Psak Halach or a decision, right? All of them have to be under the same ownership. If the ownership changes in any of the perspective of that, the ownership changes either to Hekdesh or to Hefker during that period of time, then that shore will not be held accountable, or we cannot collect from that shore because it no longer belongs to the same owner. Okay, we'll stop over here.